Okay, the recording has started. So this is basically a inter-registrar transfer policy, PDP, part A, status update to the council. Hopefully some of the council members will drift back. I've noticed some are sitting in the back, but please, Paul, go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. Okay, thank you, Aubrey. My name is Paul Diaz with Network Solutions. I was elected chair of this working group. I will be quick. I know lunch is coming, and I appreciate those who are already in the room. We wanted to provide you an update just so that you understood where the working group stands. This PDP-A issue note is the first of five envisioned PDPs related to transfer policy issues. We have the three issues you see there in our charter. I won't read them over, but I mean, fundamentally, they deal with exchange of registrant email contact information. They deal with electronic forms of authentication. And then finally, we're dealing with potential provisions terms for a partial bulk transfer. Very good. Sorry about that. Sure, next slide. Background of the group, we were formed in early August of this year. We have a broad range of participants from all our various constituencies, business, IPC, registry, registrar at large. Consistently, we've had, you know, 8-10 folks participating on each of our weekly calls. What we decided as a group is to discuss our charter issues within the working group in parallel with the initial comment period that was open for the public and for constituencies to weigh in. You see our activities. We developed a constituency statement template that the various constituencies used to provide their comments. We got the public comment period underway and the statements came in. We've pulled together, Marika's pulled together for us our draft report, and basically that's where we are at this time. We do not have that draft report ready for posting for the next round of comments yet. We do, in fact, have the drafts on our wiki site, but we've not been able to sort of polish it off within the working group, get it ready for those for the next stage. We hope to have that done probably in the next 2 weeks, mid-November at the latest. As you can see, the report covers the inputs that we received. We did receive a few public comments. Unfortunately, most of them were not really focused on the issues at hand. They were much broader concerns. We received statements from IPC, the business constituency, the registries, and the registrar constituencies. All of those inputs, of course, are part of the draft report that we're still working on. Over the course of the weeks that we've been working or meeting as a working group, we've had extensive discussions related to our issues. As you can see up here in the first, our issue number one, detailed discussions focused on potentially leveraging the EPP, extensive provisioning protocol, as a way to provide this. We had a very useful discussion about IRIS, sort of the next generation who is alternative. We've talked at some length about differences between registrant versus admin contact approval, thin versus thick registries, a bit about who is, not as a broad issue, but really as an enabling mechanism, operational aspects of who is in sharing registrant information. And then, of course, related to EPP would be the auth info code. In the second issue about electronic authentication, we've had some discussions about incidents of hacking and hijacking. One of our participants was able to provide some statistics about issues, level of concern that they've had to address. Additional security measures as well have been batted around. And then finally, for partial bulk transfer, we've begun talking about some of the terms. What would it mean? A definition, requirements. Always a concern about security considerations. Should the working group come up with a recommendation for new provisions related to partial bulk transfer, we're all very sensitive about not potentially creating any sort of loopholes, security loopholes. The existing transfer policy already has its issues. We don't want to potentially make anything any worse. What we have for you here is our timeline. I would note that, interestingly, when council chartered this group, y'all didn't provide us with a deadline. Not a problem. We tried as a group to come up with a fairly aggressive timeline, and for the most part, we've done quite well. You'll see as we march through the weeks, final review of the initial report. We have, in fact, started that, but we, of course, as I've already mentioned, have not finalized that report and gotten that very important public comment stage going. So the timeline, as you see it up there, will probably slip several weeks. So our goal at this point will be to have a final report ideally ready and submitted to council before the end of this year, worst case early January of 2009. Basically, that's it. Again, we just wanted to provide you all a quick update, and certainly if council or anybody else in the room has questions, I'm happy to address them.
Okay, thank you. Chuck, you look like you're ready to have a question.
I am. Thank you. on the issues, Paul, by the way, thanks to the working group and to you for being willing to chair it. Can you give us any indication to where, just rough indications to where you think you're going to be able to come up with recommendations with regard to possible policy changes on the three issues?
I think it might be a little premature for me to guess at this point, Chuck. The initial statements that came in from the various constituencies have different views on all three issues at this point. Some groups feel that there are not viable policy options. Others have commented they thought something could be done. We haven't really taken it up as a group yet to try and start roughing out a consensus on those issues.
So none of them are really clearly looking like there may be consensus on policy issues?
Not very clear. I think that we probably will be able to work through issues one and two. They appear to be a little easier in terms of there's not as much daylight between different positions. Issue three, that partial bulk transfer position provisions, I would note our charter question specifically includes partial bulk transfer provisions between registrars. And in the comments that have come in from two constituencies, they've overlooked that final clause between registrars. As a result, that one might be a little controversial because there's clearly a difference of opinion between who would be eligible if we can come to some agreement on what those transfer provisions might look like, who they would be extended to. So at this point, that one of the three is probably the most controversial.
Let me ask you a question on that. So there must have been a misunderstanding of what a transfer is if they weren't thinking it was between two registrars. What were they thinking, if you can share that?
Yeah, the discussion or the proposals that have been put forth from business constituency in particular, their view is they want those provisions to be extended to registrants. In the case of perhaps after a merger and acquisition, businesses that might want to move a portion of a portfolio over, their view is to allow the process to be initiated by a registrant, a portfolio holder. The same would apply, say, for a domainer with a large portfolio. So the suggestion has been to extend the ability to start a transfer process, push it out to the registrant. Clearly, the registrars will be involved, but it's kind of moving us in a new direction should that be adopted.
Alan, I have a question, though. I saw my own hand before I saw yours. I apologize. would that, I mean, I guess I'd have a question on the extension of the scope there when it's within a group whose scope is, and its title is, inter-registrar, whether that would require, I mean, I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm wondering whether one would have to come back to the council and say, listen, you know, there's a request from the group to extend the charter to include this issue, because at the moment, I would argue that the charter doesn't include that issue. Now, there's absolutely no reason why a working group can't come back and say, hey, you know, we started talking about this, and we think it's reasonable to talk about these things also. Can the charter be extended to include that? But sort of finding the balance between the group being open to talk about it, what it needs to, without letting groups decide sort of on their own mission creep. And that becomes a concern of mine. Okay, I had Alan, and then, yes, Alan.
In the case of a transfer, let's say after an acquisition, I see two different categories. One is that they simply want to change the registrant name but keep the registrar the same. And the second is the acquiring party uses a different registrar, therefore you want to change the registrar at the same time, in which case it really does fall under this category. You just happen to want to change the name, the registrant name in parallel.
All right, I think two things there. In the first one, changing of a registrant, staying with the registrar, that's not inter-registrar. So that would not even apply to our group, right?
No, I was agreeing. I'm saying that's just a registrar service, and that has nothing to do with you at all.
Right.
But if it's the second case where they want to change the registrar and coincidentally at the same time change the registrant, it really is a flavor of inter-registrar transfer.
If my memory is correct, I think the issue of registrant change is an issue on another one of the PDPs.
Yes, that's correct. That will be addressed, I think, in PDPC. To get back to your question, though, the changing of registrant and registrar, a regular transfer, that's all well and good. Under the existing policy, if you have an acquisition and all of those domain names get transferred, no problem. That's the bulk transfer process. It's accounted for. What is on the table for us is a partial bulk, only moving some of the names. And to Avery's point, I'm very sensitive about not going beyond the scope of the charter that was put before us and contributing to the registrar constituency statement. We underscored that. You know, the charter said between registrars, not to open this up to any registrant deciding to move their portfolio around and being able to take advantage of some new provisions that get created. Should the group really want to push this issue, and it's not been debated fully enough yet that we've reached that point, but it's well understood that if we get to that stage, we would come back.
Avery, was I in there?
Sébastien Bachelet, I like member and member of this group, and maybe I never understood what was the goal of this group, but if we speak about inter-registrar transfer, it's because one day a registrant asks for something. Not just a business they want to do by themselves, among themselves, for the registrars. In English it's really very difficult to be sure that we always use the right words for registrant, registrar, registry, brr. But I try to. Then the question about if a bulk transfer have to happen, it's also because when registrant needs, because they have a group of name to change from one registrar to another registrar, because we were speaking about the gaining registrar and the losing registrar, then somebody has to start that. And I don't see the big difference between doing that for one name or for part of your portfolio or for your portfolio if you are one business user or a company or even an end user with different names. But once again, maybe I am wrong, and I will be happy to know that I am wrong, and I will do better my job if I am knowing that. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll give it to Tim in a second. My understanding was certainly if the registrar is to do something because something has happened in their client base or something has happened among their registrants and their solution to whatever request they've gotten requires that, you're at the inter-registrar. If, however, the registrant can, without, you know, the intercession of their registrar, initiate something, I think you've got a different situation. And so it's, are you as a registrant asking your registrar to do something as a corporation? And to do it, they need to do a bulk transfer between two registrars. That's inter-registrar. If, on the other hand, you as a company want to initiate it yourself, a bulk transfer of data from registrar to yourself or from yourself to another part of your company or something else, that's something different. Okay, Tim.
Yeah, I apologize because I missed the first part of this, but I just want to make sure that the genesis of this particular issue had been discussed, that it actually relates back to Part B of the inter-register transfer policy, which is actually talking about a bulk transfer from one registrar who has, for whatever reason, been, you know, gone out of business, has failed, has been merged with another registrar, and so it's the bulk transfer of their names to another registrar, and if there's under a certain number, it's done without cost and without the addition of a year. It's more of a kind of a maintenance mechanism when a registrar goes out of business or is merged with another. And so that's kind of the genesis of this, because what's happened is you'll have different business models where a registrar will have a particular business unit. Perhaps you have a business, you have a retail unit, and you have a business unit that deals just primarily with large portfolio management, and that unit might be sold off. So there was no mechanism to be able to sell a business unit and move those. You have a partial bulk transfer of those names to another entity, and as a result, registries who wanted to do that had to actually go through the funnel process to try to get something like that approved. So that was the genesis of where this issue came up. And I think what the concern, at least from my viewpoint, that arose in this working group was that there was a push to move that towards all kinds of other things. A registrant, a domainer, like we discussed, who might want to just move a large portion of names for whatever reason from one registrar to another and do it without cost and without adding another year. And that was a... something in addition to what was, I think, originally contemplated when this issue was raised and where the problem actually started to arise. But because right now today, bulk transfers are possible. If you want to, you know, move 400, 5,000 names from one registrar to another, you certainly can do it, but you can't do it without cost, and a year is added to the registration when it's done.
Tim, so... it seems to me that an option for the working group would be to come back with a recommendation for a policy with regard to how those kind of optional partial transfers could occur, and it could involve cost. I mean, that could be part of the policy or something like that. I don't think they should be restricted to the model that's in the agreements right now with regard to the ICANN-approved bulk transfer, which includes all the names. But certainly from a registry perspective, it would give us more flexibility, because we really don't have any provision for doing partial bulk transfers. So if the committee actually, you know, had some means, had some recommendations and was to come to consensus on some things there, I think that's a perfectly legitimate thing to do.
Yeah, and I think the question is whether it's in relation to the types of things that were contemplated with Section B of the transfer, or if we're talking about something completely new. If we're talking about something completely new, then, you know, that's a different issue. It wasn't really part of the terms of reference, and I don't know what the process would be then to go back and say, okay, we need to reconsider this. And also, these were the, where we came up with this list of issues to consider in this PDP were based on, you know, issues raised. It went through a couple of different iterations of working groups about identifying the issues, their priorities, et cetera. And so that's where these PDPs were developed. And now if we're going to add, you know, new things to it, I think there some process should be followed before the working group would go off on to just completely new concepts or terms of reference as far as.
I guess I'm not following totally, because if the only
it'd
thing
it'd be
the
difference. It's like if all of a sudden they decide, well, it wasn't really mentioned here, but we want to we want to discuss the possibility of a new type of transfer. We'll call it a no-cost transfer, and where someone can transfer a name at their choice, at their request, without any cost, and they just wouldn't get a year added to it. I mean, that's really what we're talking about, and can that just get added to, you know, one of these terms of reference in a PDP, just because the working group decided, well, this is a cool idea, you know, let's come up with this new thing, we're just going to add it to what we're doing. I mean, that's really what's happened here with this particular.
Well, I don't think that it doesn't make any sense for the working group to be restricted to the Part B restrictions, because it only covers full transfers, not partial transfers. So why would it, why? And I haven't looked at the terms of reference in a long time, so I may be missing something here. But the whole question of a partial bulk transfer is a different question than the provision that's already in there right now. Now the reasons, does the terms of reference, do they actually restrict the reasons that can be considered for that? Now I would see that as legitimate policy issue to be considered by the working group, but I'm wondering whether we're being over restrictive. But again, I haven't looked at the terms of reference.
Yeah, I don't think it's overly descriptive or prescriptive. I think it's just trying to. The idea was, the issue raised was Part B doesn't cover certain situations. So can we have Part B modified to allow partial bulk registrations between registrars? So if you look at Part B, what it's talking about is, you know, a registrar who failed, a registrar who's purchased or acquired completely by another registrar. You know, or what if that happens just of a partial nature, only part of that registrar is acquired, only, you know, or something. That was the genesis of this particular issue. What I'm asking is, can a working group just decide, oh, we're going to, this is cool, but it raises other questions. We could have these new kinds of transfers. You know, can a working group just decide, we're going to add that to this and pursue it without it having gone through the same process that this particular issue did?
And that's where I was thinking that no, they can decide that they want to, and they can recommend a change in their charter to the council, and then the council needs to decide. This sort of the model we've been working on is that a working group can certainly, you know, make any decision it wants to about what it wants to work on. The council needs to change their charter. If the council doesn't change their charter, it doesn't extend.
Where does that end? I mean, then what's the point of issues reports? What's the point of, you know, the council making decisions about PDPs that should be pursued? Right. If a working group can just decide,
but
we want to add this to it, I mean, then where does it end?
But that's the point. Once the council gets it, if the council looks at it and says, oh, this is a completely new issue, in other words, it's hard to say, you know, this is a completely new issue that requires a new issues report and requires a different PDP, or the council looks at it and says, yeah, this is a reasonable variant of what was covered under the issues report, and therefore, yes, it's a reasonable extension that we didn't include in the charter when we wrote it. So it's the council that gets to basically discuss the notion of whether it requires a new issues report or whether it really was covered, it just didn't get written up in their charter that way.
So what's the threshold on that?
That's the charter's, it's the council's discussion. I would say reasonableness, but, you know, it's really up to the council to then look at it and say, was this covered by the issues report?
I'm just trying to figure out how that decision is made. I mean, because that really could open things up. To me, that opens up a whole can of worms when you give a particular issue or a particular topic to a working group, and they can come back with anything and suggest it to the council. Then where do we go with that?
That's, of course, one of the issues for the group that we were meeting with earlier, is the PPSC, is how exactly does it work with working groups? At the moment, it's been set up that if they have questions, if they have issues, whether it's, is this included in our charter? We want to work on this.
Right now, we have a very specific process for how PDPs are, how they're started, right? You request an issues report, it comes back from the, they talk about whether it's in scope or not, a decision made about whether the PDP will be pursued, a working group's formed. What we're talking about here is kind of a backdoor way.
No, I don't think so. I don't see it as that at all, because we've got an issues report, and from that issues report, we voted to do a PDP. From that, we derived a charter. Now, we could there's no saying that what is in that charter of that working group is all that the issues report would have allowed. And as we may say, okay, as a council, we decided to do a PDP, we took a vote on a PDP, and then we came up with a charter. Now we've got a charter extension that we believe is within the issues report. We've got to take some kind of vote to say, yeah. And perhaps it's the same threshold as a PDP vote, and if we think it's that. So you're right in that we haven't, really set out that process, and I think that's part of what we have to do as we understand working groups.
It's one thing, Aubrey, if they're going to come back and say, look, we need a clarification of this term of reference. And I understand that that's happened before, and we've dealt with that issue, but it's another issue if a working group is going to come back and say, well, here's a completely new issue we want to deal with. That I don't know if that's been dealt with at the council level. I'm not sure exactly what the process is.
And I think it's something we would have to deal with. Yeah. And I know what I would suggest if I got something that looked like an extension of the PDP but still covered by the issues report would be basically to take a vote on it with the same thresholds as a PDP, perhaps, that sort of says, listen, this is within the issues report. We just didn't happen to put it in our PDP drive. So it's still a legitimate extension of the issues report. If it's not in the issues report and wasn't covered and is totally out of bounds, then that might not be possible. And then it might say, well, really, to do that, we would require a new issues report. So it really depends on the case, on what, we would talk about in the council of how we handled this. And you're right, it's a new thing. And it's one of the things that in the PPSC we need to start figuring out how we really handle it. But I know that before we had that, that would certainly be my approach to it. Does the issues report cover it? Yes. Does our charter cover it? No. Well, then we need to have a vote equivalent to the vote we took before, same threshold of vote, to extend. Does the issues report not cover it? Well, then we probably need a new issues report on this issue in order to deal with it. They can't request an issues report. We can. And once we get an issues report, then we go through the process. So, I mean, that's just sort of a first take on how I would suggest looking at it. Now, I had Chuck, but you wanted to say something long since, right? And I've been ignoring you.
It's okay. Just to address Chuck's question with some of the, I'm sorry, this is James Bladel, and I was a participant in the working group. We had a couple of hesitations about extending the charter with this particular issue, one of which is that because we had so many existing products already in the marketplace that we were starting to blur the line when we talked about pricing and terms, we're starting to blur the line between policy development and product development. So these things are out there and available. I think that some of the more common scenarios we explored were resellers of registrars becoming accredited in their own right and wanting to transfer from the parent reseller over to their new entity, or the reverse of that, losing their accreditation and becoming a reseller of a smaller registrar. So I think that we didn't want to go too far down the road of extending this into a mandate for a new product that registrars, regardless of whether their business model supported it or if they were even a retail-oriented registrar, would now suddenly find themselves having this new policy with respect to this new transfer product. So that was some of the thinking and some of the deliberations that went on around this issue.
Chuck?
Sure, and Mike does too. And by the way, I understand all that, and it may be that if a request came back, we would decide it was totally separate issue. But just to give an example of a couple topics that were brought up here, if the working group was to come back and suggest something with regard to registrant transfers, to me that would be clearly a totally new issue. But coming back with something that involved partial bulk transfers is a little more vague. It may still be out of scope and needs to be a totally separate issue. But it's not totally, there is some reasonableness there, some common sense with regard to, you can't just introduce a totally new issue. But in this case, what I hear you talking about is partial bulk transfers. So it sounds like there might be some room for that. Maybe when we really looked at the issues report, as Aubrey described, that we decide, no, that really needs to be separate. But that's just an illustration of what I'm thinking. I'm hearing you talk about partial bulk transfers, so there is a connection. Whereas if you came back and did something with registrant transfers, I would say, that's a different issue, totally. This may be too, but until looking at the details, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, as long as the process that Aubrey was describing is what we would do, then that's fine, yeah.
Yeah. As I say, we haven't defined it yet. That's certainly something that we should define within the PPSC, but it's certainly the way I would treat it if the issue was brought to the council at this point, or it's how I would suggest treating it. We would talk about it like we do on anything else and say, yep, that works, no, that doesn't. But yeah, Mike, you had a...
I mostly just wanted to comment that this discussion is a lot more mature than our conversation in the working group has been, because we haven't really delved a long way into this yet. And so, Tim, to your issue of, we did have a brief conversation about sort of trying to stick the nose of the camel in the tent and get a whole lot of sort of free transfers happening. And the working group sort of saw that and acknowledged and said, no, that's, if it turns out that we're going where you think we're headed, we really aren't. But the main point I wanted to make is that I, at least as a member of the working group who admittedly has missed a couple of calls, I don't think that our thinking is this mature yet, right?
No, and that's why I kept trying to weigh in. All the discussions for the last 15 minutes have been purely theoretical. The working group has not issued its report. We are still thrashing out these issues. We'll have it soon. Based on constituency statements, there has been a suggestion to expand the scope. At least that's how I see it, and that's what Aubrey led with, and I said, if we ever reach that point where they really dig in and say, we want this particular change, then we will come back to council, absolutely, and say, this is what's here. We need some guidance. Can we do whatever we need to do?
And I think the theoretical was partly for council benefit of, well, how do we start thinking about handling that? And it really comes out of our previous meeting, too. I don't know. Yep. And at some point, so we really do need to figure out how we're going to do that. And yep. Anyone else? Yeah. So thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, it's lunchtime. I think it's lunchtime. Maybe it's not quite lunchtime. It is lunchtime. And then once people have gotten lunch at some point in it, I will try to disturb people just trying to get some ideas on what kind of issues I should be bringing up in our AXO meeting. That'll be in here. Yeah, lunch is in here. I'm not going to try and do it right away. No recording for that. No transcription for that. Thank you. Have a good lunch.